I don't have problems with seating.
I am Brian Fitzgerald. I'm one of the members of the Board of Adjustment. And tonight, I'll act as chair. Our usual chairman is missed in action. Call the meeting of the Rogers County Board of Adjustment for November 4th, 2019 to order. Our secretary is not here, so I'll have you each identify yourselves.
Okay, Don Cohen.
Jerry Albers.
Brian Fitzgerald.
Roberta Marshall.
Billy Mitzelfeld.
Is there anyone, well, let's approve the minutes from the last meeting. Has everyone had a chance to take a look at the minutes from the last meeting?
Yes.
Three of us, anyway.
Yeah, I didn't attend.
Two of us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have any questions?
No, I have none.
No.
Okay, well, I make a motion that we approve the
second.
Favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Minutes are approved.
Oops. Dang it. Sorry, guys. We'll just get that 1 minute, sorry.
Is there anyone here from the public wishes to talk about something other than the application that's before us this evening?
Sorry, it was really loud.
Say again?
It was loud. They
didn't hear it because that was.
Oh, I said, is there anyone here from the public that wants to say something about anything other than the application that's before us this evening? I don't see anyone, so we'll pass on the public comments. Does the applicant wish to make a statement with regard to the application?
Yeah. I'm going to open this back up, sorry.
Okay.
I was trying to turn that volume back up on the microphones.
Do you need more patience?
Yes, please.
You open the site plan, I think that's pertinent. And there's some of these 3D outputs, I think, that are some of the various JPEGs towards the end of that file list that I think are pertinent. My name is Tim Stone. I'm with Kelly and Stone Architects here in town. I am the architect, and I am also the applicant for this particular project. First of all, I wanted to thank you all for being here. I know that we're the only item on the agenda. I know you didn't have a quorum, so thanks for showing up. It's otherwise you might not have had to convene. I'll walk you through a little bit of the background, walk you through the project and kind of the ask, maybe just touch on the requirement criteria and how we're in conformance with the master plan and the regulations, and then just say a couple things in closing. So the background here is we're looking to buy a 2-acre parcel right at the base of Butt Pass. It's right at the confluence of Rock County Road 38 and 38A. You see north is to the left in this particular image.
This is the right.
And so it's right as you're heading up the page would be right when you start your climb on Butt Pass Road. So the parcel is just a fuzz under 2 acres. It's legal non-conforming. It's an ag forestry zone district. And there's a cap here on the corner, which is in a bit of disrepair. And the lot size is pretty irregular, as you can see. It's even the ditch isn't really showing up.
We've got drawings. They've got site plans.
You've got drawings as well.
In front of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can start to see the outline of the ditch there. Anyway, the lot's got some fairly significant encumbrances, not the least of which are the fact that, both county roads are incredibly close to the property lines. Both 38 and 38A are just within feet in most cases as you move north-south and then east-west, and 38 and 38A also encroach on section. Property in a couple of locations. And then there's a ditch that bisects the property, and it kind of runs kind of southeast to the northwest and pushes what is really ends up being the kind of leftover building envelope kind of into this into the southwest corner of the parcel. So the ask here is we're proposing a new single-family home and with an attached garage and then also a detached garage. And you'll notice that by and large the proposal is in conformance with the county road setback, which is the most restrictive setback in this circumstance because the county roads are so close to the parcel. By and large, weren't in conformance with the setback, but we're having trouble with the garages coming up with a workable plan solution. So the 50-foot/80-foot setbacks are setbacks that are pertinent to what would typically be, you know, a typical ag forestry zone lot, which is 35 acres and above. But when you apply that such a large setback to such a small parcel, you end up with a building envelope that's left over that is incredibly small. It's the envelope that we're up against is sub quarter acre. The ditch creates some fairly unique challenges on the parcel as well. One is that it pushes us kind of into this southwest corner. The other is that it also really saturates the soils on the parcel. The flow in the Soda Creek Ditch varies anywhere from 12 cubic feet per second all the way down to a trickle in the fall. So the soils are incredibly saturated all across this flat area. So the proposed development, at the end of the day, we're trying to get as far away from said ditch as humanly possible, if only to prevent water intrusion into the house after the house is built, but also to prevent, you know, the excavation from filling full of water when we have the hole open and running into some kind of untenable dewatering situation during construction. There's a 15-foot ditch setback that's implied for the ditch rider to maintain the ditch, and that's inevitably the ditch will end up with the debris in it or whatever, and the ditch rider needs to have access to the ditch. So that's another reason why we're trying to maintain a certain distance away from the ditch. And the largest reason for the detached garage location is that, you know, we've made an attempt to break up these forms. I created an outbuilding and an unattached garage rather than creating a five-car garage that's attached and otherwise, you know, an attempt to kind of break down the facade, which I think is adhering to and more keeping with the agricultural vernacular of this area. And there's a couple of things that we're trying to mitigate with the location of the detached garage. One is there's a pretty significant noise consideration on County Road 38. If you have trucks that are beginning to climb above pass, they end up gassing it as they start to climb, and it gets even worse in the wintertime when you have trucks that are hauling big trailers full of snowmobiles. And then the other constraint, or the other consideration that we're trying to mitigate with the outbuildings location is as cars are coming down above paths, it kind of curves around and headlights actually end up sweeping the property. So we're trying to shield the residents from the light nuisance, as it were. And then lastly, the reason for detaching that building is that, you know, I'm trying to preserve some solar access not only the guest bedroom, but also the bedrooms upstairs, which is necessitating, you know, the 20-foot distance between the two buildings that we're proposing. We also considered, the eastern side of the parcel rather than the proposed western side of the parcel, we would have to get across the ditch. There's currently no access across the ditch, and then the property ramps up pretty steeply as you move east. And there's also, as you can see, there's a 50-foot property line setback that exists over there, and the building envelope is about the same size or even a bit smaller than what we're proposing, kind of in this southwest corner. So it makes a lot more sense to build on the flat area where the existing improvements are that we're proposing to remove than to move up the hill. With respect to, I think it's also really important to point out also that, you know, the existing building is not showing up too well on this exhibit, but I think you can see where it is in the documents you have in hand. We're planning on removing the existing cabin there. You can see it pretty well on this document here. The improvements that we're proposing represent a very significant net reduction in nonconformance. It's important to understand that the existing cabin here is 100% within the 8-foot center line county road setback, and we planned on removing this building. Let's see, I'm getting disorganized here. So in regards to requirements, requirement criteria, of course, the property and its size and shape existed prior to the adoption of the county regulations. Therefore, it's, you know, legal non-conforming. It's certainly got exceptional size constraints, topography, that are not normally found in the agricultural zone district. I think it's important to point out that, you know, the proposed improvements would certainly not diminish the value of the adjacent property owners or encumber enjoyment of the adjacent property owners. The improvements that we're proposing are of similar size to other homes in the area. In fact, quite a bit smaller than some of the adjacent homes. And we had intention, and there's a bunch of mature aspens on the parcel that we intend to preserve, also to help mitigate the improvements impact on neighboring parcels, specifically to the west. With respect to the Rock Canyon Master Plan and the Rock Canyon regulations, this parcel is currently a residential use, which is a prescribed use in the agroforestry zone district. We are proposing to continue with the residential use. I think it's important to note that, you know, the master plan also provides, or, you know, it prescribes rather clustering development in the agroforestry zone district. And this particular parcel is in an area where there is a relative high density of residences relative to the other parts of Strawberry Park. It's also not taking any agricultural land offline in order to achieve residential development, which is also prescribed by the Rock Canyon Master Plan. Not displacing any wildlife that's not currently already displaced. As I said, it's already a residential use. We had a few emails come in with respect to public comment today, kind of in the 11th hour, a few in opposition and a few in support of the project. It was fairly evident that the commentary had not fully reviewed the submittal, there was a few folks that made a comment that didn't even really want to review the submittal package, even after Tegan had asked if they wanted to see it. I think one of the points brought up in some of the commentary in opposition of our proposal was that, you know, you'd be setting a precedent with respect to allowing some relief to the setbacks. I think you all know that the precedent is already there, hence where we've established this process. I don't think that's a concern. And I think it's important, again, to point out that what we're proposing is a significant reduction in nonconformity than what's currently there. And at the end of the day, you know, the ag forestry setbacks and the county road setbacks, you know, just produce an untenable encumbrance on the parcel. As I said, you know, they're intended for lots of 38.5 acres and larger. So I guess in closing, we feel that we've created a very reasonable submittal for development on a lot with some serious issues. We're bringing the property way farther into conformance, and we're making a thoughtful proposal for the consideration of the board. Happy to take any questions or clarify anything that you guys have for me.
Before we do that, is there anyone here that wants to speak in favor or against the application? Paul?
Oh, let's have him switch and go to the podium so it gets recorded.
You would like me to?
Yes, please.
My name is Paul Andrews. We just discovered this process was ongoing over the weekend because my wife happened to stop and read the sign on the home. I'm not directly adjacent to this property, but I could throw a stone and hit the property from my house. It's that close. So, first of all, I want to just speak from the standpoint of the reality of what Strawberry Park is and what we see it to be and what we would hope for it to continue to be. And I wrote a brief email today, and I'll just read through it if you don't mind. To whom it may concern, thank you for your consideration and public input for the proposed variance. As owners of one of the closest neighboring properties to... As owners of one of the closest neighboring properties to this lot, I would like to state our opposition for the requested variance for the following reason. The nature of Strawberry Park is that of a low-density, rural residential area with homes that are set back dramatically from the roadside, along with the feel of a great deal of privacy and open space. The fact that the building setbacks have been enforced in the past has allowed the park to maintain its beauty and is what we all should expect from our governing bodies in all building decisions. Any exception to the existing policies will create a change in the nature of the community as well as create a precedent that may change the face of the region indefinitely. The owners should create a different building plan that fits within the confines of their lot and not expect to change the rules for their own benefit. The various conditions that the lot affect of the lot that affect the possible footprint for the building should drive the location and the size of the proposed building. Please act in the interest of the community and deny this variance. So I also want to just give some input. I know two of the neighboring properties very close to where we live had to comply with the setbacks. And I can quote the names if you're interested. One individual actually purchased land from a neighbor in order to permit him to build his home within a boundary line setback. Another home currently under construction down in Strawberry Park closer to the Soda Creek is on a 5-acre lot, and they were required to be absolutely within the policies of the county. And I just feel like you create rules for a reason that should apply to everyone. And, you know, there's certainly ways to solve the problem that they're talking about, modifying the footprint, maybe moving the ditch, put the ditch by the road on both sides. I don't know what the possibilities might be. It would be attractive to have a nice home there. And I think most of the neighbors feel that way. I don't think that anyone feels that what's there is super appealing to the neighborhood. So whatever happens will be an improvement. We all believe that. And we're not in opposition to that. But we would just like to see that the rules that have applied to other people in the past actually continue to be applied. Strawberry Park's going to change if these things continue to go on, and it's one of the more appealing areas around, which is probably why they want to build at home there. It's a beautiful place. So, you know, we just are asking that you look more closely at other possibilities. That's all. We know that someone's going to scrape that place and build something, and we recognize that that's the proper use of the lot. And we're all a little bit disappointed that the public isn't notified sooner. Here I'm 100 feet away from that place, and I didn't even know about it until the weekend. So we don't even have a chance to educate ourselves on it. And none of my neighbors knew about it that are directly adjacent to that property. So the county process really limits anyone to have any input in the process until, like he said, the 11th hour. And it's not because of our intentions. It's just that we just were not informed. So, you know, I want to share that viewpoint from some of the neighbors. My next door neighbor, the Songs, the Schultzes, they feel the same way. You know, they expect a house that's going to get put there is going to be an improvement to the neighborhood. And that's pretty much my summary. And thank you for your time. I appreciate it. And we do want to have a good neighbor next door. And I don't want to create any problems there. But I just feel like I've seen other people have to comply with the policies of the county to the nth degree. And that seems like that's disappearing in this case. So, thank you.
My name is David Lundeen. I just learned about this today, so a little short notice even. I live on 38A, not adjacent to the property. I live up the street a bit. I've talked to two of my neighbors where I live. I live about eight-tenths of a mile in the 38A. They all felt that, and I think Paul did as well, that scraping the existing house and building another one would be an improvement to the neighborhood because, my wife and I have actually looked at that property. The house is really unsalvageable. I mean, it was built a long time ago. It's been built on a couple of times and various elevations within the house. It's really not a house that can be salvaged for anything other than a cheap rental. The lot is a challenged lot. You have two places to build, shown here, and further up, the ditch is an issue with trying to build on that house. And I think it's a lot that's really impacted by the setbacks. I mean, look at the amount of lot area that's taken by the setbacks on all sides. It makes it a very challenging place to build. And I think the proposal is a thoughtful proposal, trying to give as much setback as possible and still have a home that works pretty well. There are rules and there are exceptions to rules, and exceptions need to be, we need to demand that there be thought and reasons for those exceptions. But if you take a look at this lot and you don't do this kind of thing to that lot, it's not going to be as valuable as it is presently, at least marketed, and it makes a difference on the values of the property in the area, I think. When you look at the setbacks, the majority of the home is within compliance. The existing structure is completely out of compliance. And really an eyesore, and that property's been for sale for a long time. It's not just been for sale for a little bit, and I think the reason it's been for sale is everyone knows the house has to be replaced with a new one, and it's really hard to build on that property. So I think there are some legitimate reasons to have a variance. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Staff have comments in addition to materials?
Yes. Yep. I've got some. First, I'm going to address some things as a follow-up to public comment, particularly some things that Mr. Andrews commented on. In this process, like all variance applications, we have a statutory 21-day public notice period that includes letters to all adjacent property owners which are touching the lot or across a public road. That includes a notice to the newspaper, that includes a poster on site, as well as being posted on our website. So we follow that procedure with every application that we get from the planning department in our best due diligence to make sure the public is aware of it. I mean, we don't have the staff to go and knock on every single door and tell people, but I mean, when he commented that nobody was aware of it, we followed the exact same procedure that's always followed. Additionally, any buildable parcel in Round County is eligible to apply for a variance. Whether or not they're approved for that is obviously up to Court of Adjustments, but any buildable lot in the county is eligible for that. So just follow up on those things. And a couple other follow-up items. You guys should all have those five emails in front of you that we received today. Three are opposed to this proposal and two are in favor. Additionally, we got a last-minute follow-up from the Public Works Department. They were waiting on their foreman to go and just check the site. And all that they had submitted to us is that Route County Public Works is in support of the access relocation from County Road 38 to County Road 38A. So,
you do
that. I have a PowerPoint to go through as well. Just one additional comment. This proposal maintains the same residential density than currently is existing on that site. It's not adding a new house. The proposal is to remove one residential dwelling unit and add one to replace it. So there's some comments about increased density. This would not increase residential density. Okay. So just, Tim did a great job explaining his proposal, but just so it's clear, because it's kind of confusing, with this application, what he's proposing is to be 58 feet from the center of the public roadway. And then from the property line, he's proposing to be 45 feet from the south property line and 36 from the west property line. This is kind of atypical, because usually that 50 feet from the property line and 80 feet from the center of a county road requirement meet up, because in a normal circumstance, we have a 60-foot right-of-way for a public road. In this instance, there's not. So.
He did mention the road was encroaching in a couple places. Have you taken that into account?
Yes, yep, and it does. It absolutely does, both on County Road 38 and County Road 38A encroaches. So what's being considered are two variances. One is for the attached garage and one is for the detached garage. The single family residence that he's proposing meets setbacks on all sides. So this is just for those two garage structures. This is the site plan. I apologize, it's very hard to see on there, but you guys all have them in front of you. So sorry, looked bad up on the screen, but hopefully you're able to interpret what's going on better on the piece of paper in front of you.
Do you have any more?
Any more site plans?
Are you finished?
Yes, I have more. Yes, I'm going to go through some of my recommendations here. Just a couple more things. Here's an aerial of the site. I know it's a little hard on the site plan you guys are all looking at on the screen where that existing house is. This is the current location of the existing house. Just for a little reference point, this is kind of where the single-family home is proposed to be constructed, with the detached garage kind of this location and the attached garage closer over here. Okay, here's some photos. I actually posted some things from the realtor website because when I went out there, it had just snowed and it was really hard to tell what was going on in my photos that I took. So this is the existing home that's on site. This is a location that's, you know, the photographer is standing just off County Road 38 and they're facing west. So you can see the mailbox row right here. This is where 38A comes down, and it follows down that way. This is that northeast section of the property that's across the irrigation ditch, the hill that we kind of discussed. And that area staff considered to not be a realistic build site for a few reasons. One of those reasons would be bridging the irrigation ditch, which is obviously costly, it's difficult, it can impact the ability to maintain the irrigation ditch, especially because this one in particular has a lot of debris in it. It's not what you'd imagine is a perfect straight, you know, cleaned out irrigation ditch. There's a lot of trees and stuff growing around it. Additionally, he would be accessing almost the exact same amount of buildable space that exists on the side of the property that he's proposing to build on. So the, you know, the difficulty of going through bridging it, flattening a build area, and then essentially having the exact same amount of and configuration of space didn't feel realistic. This is a photo that I took out on a site visit. Where I am standing is essentially the proposed location to build the home. And I am looking towards the existing home, and then this is County Road 38 that runs along the just past that existing home. And then on this side, it's going to be County Road 38A. And again, the existing home, and this is facing east up the hill on the other side of the irrigation ditch. And then this outbuilding that currently exists that's proposed to be removed and is essentially in that location where the home will be. This is approved. Although, means setbacks. So staff is making recommendations on separately on the attached garage and the detached garage. So the recommendation for the attached garage, we're recommending approval. We recognize there are a lot of site constraints the applicant's working with. He's proposed to configure his home in a way that not much else fits on there. One thing that he didn't mention is the location of the leach field. So this area on the site plan is not an area that he built on, because obviously you can't build on every leach field. However, staff is recommending denial of the detached garage. One of the reasons for that was we felt it could have been put in a different location that was more in conformance. Some things maybe could have been adjusted with the home or the other garage to push it into a more compliant location. We struggled with it being as 20 feet from the house and building permit. Maximum separation between two, or minimum separation between two structures is 5 feet. So that's the, you know, benchmark we're going off of, is how close it could have been to the other structure.
How wide is the proposed detached garage?
I don't know off the top of my head.
What was the question?
How wide is the
proposed? What's the rectangle dimension shape there?
2430.
So
2430.
So even if they moved it to an attached garage, they would still impact the setback, eh?
Potentially. It's hard because obviously there's many constraints that he's working around, but you know, the house was scooched over a little bit, it was attached. These are things that we're looking at in the very black and white perception of the zoning regulations, which is obviously our role. However, the applicant has many other reasons that he's taken into account of why he's designed it that way, which might not be, you know, things that we can take into account that are expressly discussed in the zoning regulations. So, yep. Do you guys have any?
So Does anyone else have any questions of staff?
I had a couple of questions.
Go for it.
Tim, what was stopping you from sliding this whole structure to the left here and getting closer to the ditch? If you know, it looks like you're fairly close to that pond or whatever that is already. So why not just move the whole thing 20 feet to the left?
Well, 20 feet to the left, I'd be 5 feet away from the ditch. I mean, I think that's just, I think I'm, quite honestly, I think I'm treading on thin ice already with the saturated soils that I'm certain to encounter. I would not be in conformance with the ditch rider setback if I slid it that far. And I'm just honestly, even in its current position, I think I'm pushing my luck from a standpoint of having inundated soils in and around the footings and up into the fills. It's already ruled out having a crawl space, so I'm having to look at slab on grade rather than a crawl space, which makes it more difficult to get HVAC over there. A lot of construction pragmatics drivers driving its current position as far south as I thought I could reasonably propose, and as far away from the water source as I
could. You
move
to the podium? Absolutely, sure. The microphone to put you up.
What's to stop you from lining that section of the ditch, Tim?
I should speak to that. I have to line a section of the ditch, but the section of the ditch that I need to line is to the south. The reason I need to line that section is because the leach bed is not going to be in a compliant distance from the ditch. So that necessitates that I line that section. In locating the leach bed there, I'm not in a conforming distance with the leach bed to the wellhead. So then I need to move the wellhead to the north. On these parcels, the ditch recharges the wells. So I can't line the ditch to the north because we're reliant on the ditch to recharge the well.
How deep do you think your well's going to be, Tim?
30 feet.
They're out, so it's a surface well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the current well is 35, I think. And it's in here somewhere.
And just one quick comment also, and I'm not sure, on your printed outside plan it's more visible, but these lines showing here, this is a patio.
Yeah.
Those aren't part of wanted to make sure you guys didn't think that was like an extension of the house. That's a patio. Right?
Yeah, dark lines are footprint.
Further questions of the applicant or staff?
We heard from one of the neighbors that said there were no variances granted in this area. When I looked on Google Maps, it looked like there were quite a few structures within 50 feet of the road if you go up a mile or two either way.
That's correct.
I'm not aware of any being granted in that area. I'm not aware of other applications coming in recent history either.
Okay.
However, there are likely a number of older grandfathered structures like the one that currently exists on this on this lot. The current house is like roughly less than 15 feet from the property line. It's pretty close.
There's a lot of legal non-conforming stuff as you travel north on 38A, specifically on the east side.
It looked both ways when I looked at it. I could measure stuff.
Yeah.
That was within 40 or 50 feet of the road.
Anyone else?
Yep, many of the properties you'll find in the Strawberry Park neighborhood are, as Tegan has said, any applicant, legal non-conforming lots. They were created prior to our zoning regulations, so prior to 72. A lot of those structures are very old and don't meet your typical 50-foot setbacks. There was a comment earlier about new construction and how they were the proposals or the applicants were required to meet setbacks. The setbacks are 50 feet in the AF zone district. But an applicant has the right to request a variance for situations like this. And that's totally up to the person to either design their house to fit the lot, or if they can't, there could be some constraints, and there appears to be some in this situation.
No.
I have a couple of questions.
Yep.
Who owns the ditch? Ditch company?
It's owned by multiple ditch owners. The applicant, if he buys his property, will be a partial owner in the ditch. However, there's a ditch raider that goes and performs maintenance.
So is it a ditch company?
I'm not sure.
I believe you're correct. Sutter Creek Ditch Company.
Yeah,
it's managed by sort of an association, as it were. All the folks that have water rights within the ditch participate in the association.
Turned them into the ditch company and got shares in the ditch company.
Exactly.
Yeah. There was a suggestion made earlier, why don't we move the ditch? It's almost impossible to move a ditch in Colorado. If it's owned by a ditch company, you would have to get the consent of every shareholder in the ditch company in order to relocate the ditch. It's just a peculiarity of our water law. What do you propose to do with the detached garage?
It's my shop.
Your shop?
Yeah.
Explain more?
Can I
get up and...
Yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
I mean, I do a lot of woodworking, or I aspire to anyway. We've got a lot of gear, just being outdoors people, a lot of storage needs.
We're a family of, we've got a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old twins.
Could you tell us who you are?
My name's Alethea, I'm Tim's wife.
Okay.
And Tim, we currently live in the Brooklyn area of Steamboat. Tim designed a beautiful house for us there. And we found out that house was already being built that I was having twins. And so the way the house was designed is really, really challenging for us our kids will always have to share rooms because of the way our house was designed. And Tim is an amazing woodworker and has a bunch of tools, and all of our bikes and gear and boat, raft for summer activities are all crammed into this tiny little two-bedroom or two-car garage. And so one of his dreams is to have room to actually work in the shop. So the shop is a dream of his and mine, so that I can actually store my gear inside instead of outside.
So the two-car patch is our everyday garage where we park both of our cars.
And eventually we'll have 5 drivers, so
yeah.
That's also a challenge as well.
It's a big issue in Old Town.
Do you need the space that's in the detached garage? Could it be smaller?
It's currently about 2.5 cars, which is about the minimum when it comes to what I, my program that I need for my shop and the storage of potentially a trailer or two. And we've got some open storage out close to the property line as well.
Staff has asked us to consider this as 2 applications, one for the attached garage and the other for the detached garage. Staff is, and unless anyone has an objection, I'm okay with considering them to be separate applications.
I agree.
One of the reasons for doing that is that staff has recommended approval of the attached garage denial with respect to the detached garage. Knowing that, do you have anything to add further?
Well, I try to speak to the the rationale with respect to the position of the detached garage and our desire not to have it attached to the structure as a whole. And, you know, the primary argument is solar access. The secondary driver was our attempt to break down some of these forms and to create, quite honestly, some more compelling human scale architecture that is consistent with the agricultural vernacular of Strawberry Park. You know, putting the two buildings closer together, as you astutely observed a moment ago, we could bring the detached building all the way to in contact with the guest bedroom suite there, and it still wouldn't be in conformance. And as it stands now, we've got 20 feet between our house and the neighbor's house in our Brooklyn neighborhood, and in the winter months, the solar access is still an issue. So I think diminishing that space would just create a canyon of ice and really diminish the visual separation between the buildings and create a really kind of undesirable, I would just call it a corridor in between the two buildings. And really just negate all of the desirable qualities of creating secondary buildings and their eclectic nature and, you know, and their homage to the agricultural brand.
For sake of discussion, if we were to deny the request for a variance with respect to the detached garage, would you go ahead with the remainder?
I don't know. It seriously puts a wrench in my desired sequencing, quite honestly. We had hoped to build the outbuilding first, take this in baby steps, as it were. And quite honestly, this parcel acquisition is a bit of a stretch for us. I'm still trying to warm up to the idea of building a 4,000 square foot house. And what it'll cost us in this market.
You should know that we specifically cannot take into consideration financial concerns.
Understood.
We are limited in our review of your application by statute and by the local zoning resolution. And the criteria are the same in both. Unless anyone has anything further, we'll close the application portion of this and open for discussion among us.
Can I just make one comment quickly before you guys start roundtable?
Say again.
Just as a courtesy to the applicant, when you're doing roundtable, it would be really clear how you think you're going to vote, so he has the opportunity. You know, if you guys are going to deny these.
Do you want us to take a straw vote?
Yes, so then he
We've
can...
only done that, you know, I've been on this board for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
We've only taken a straw vote once.
And it was like our last meeting we had.
That's the once.
So then he has the opportunity to request it to be tabled, you know, if there's things gone unanswered or whatever.
How do you guys feel about the straw vote?
I don't have a problem with it.
Tegan, you're gonna help me understand.
A straw vote is not, it's only an indication as to how we may vote.
Your disposition prior to finality. Got it. That said, Tegan, you're gonna help me understand. Let's say, for argument's sake, the board follows staff recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
You had mentioned that we can reapply if I change the geometry of the submittal for a year.
Is that
no?
That might have only been for certain other applications.
No.
Let me just verify that.
We can table.
Yes.
Because if it gets tabled, then it gives you the opportunity to change
to
it.
Redesign based on their comments,
mm-hmm.
to then come back. As soon as possible.
And then you're also not fully reapplying. You're just supplementing us with some new materials.
Yeah, you're revising your application.
Yes. It's,
okay.
But it's the same application. but let me just double check about denials. There's some applications that you cannot reapply for a year.
That's just for subdivision.
No.
I thought that was for vacation.
If we table, that means that the meetings continue.
Yes, it's not denied.
That's correct.
It's just on pause.
And there's no reapplication necessary.
Yep, there's no reapplication. It's the same application.
And it wouldn't actually even have to be re-advertised if it was tabled date specific.
Mm-hmm. No. How do you guys feel about the struggle?
If we're going to table it, then
what's the
point of a straw vote?
The reason for the straw vote is to give the applicant a chance to request continuance.
So the applicant has to request that we table it.
Well, we can table it
right
on our own, or you can request a continuance.
And a continuance is the same as a table?
Yeah.
Yes, the legal advice is the same. Mm-hmm.
So is everybody clear on what's going on?
How are you feeling about this?
I go along with everybody on a straw vote. That's
No. We're
starting the straw vote right now?
Yeah.
I guess I'd go along with the staff's recommendations with a couple conditions to tune up the conditions that are in now.
Can you be specific on what conditions?
Yeah, two things come right off hand. There's one is the trees. The applicant has said something about trees.
Okay.
And he's also said something about seating. And I think both of those things could be adjusted.
So your inclination at the moment is to approve the attention, disapprove the detach.
Correct.
I would be in favor of granting both variances. The reason, do you want the reason now? Or
no.
She's saying yes, she's saying no.
Listen to the chair.
I'm saying no. This is a straw vote.
No, you're good.
I would go along with Teresa on that. As far as I can see, both of them, the detached actually is less interfering than the attached, so I would say yes to both.
Don?
It's a tough call, but I do have the same inclination that it seems like the attached garage is more of a hindrance to this property than that detached one, which is kind of tucked away. So I have a tendency, if we're going to go ahead and approve the attached one, I would say that we can approve the detached one as well.
Chair would probably vote with the majority, which means that both would be approved.
Okay.
If you're going to have to roll the dice on this one. We still are going to have a discussion among us with respect to the merits of the application, and it's possible that any or all of us could change our minds as a result of the discussion. So it's up to you. Do you want to move forward?
Yes.
Okay.
May I ask a question before you move? You had said that you wanted to, you had some, I was unclear about, did you say you thought you would vote to approve the residence and the attached garage, but not the detached, but then when you had some questions you wanted to talk about regarding tabling, they didn't seem to apply to the detached garage, they seemed more to apply to the residence, so I was curious what those were.
In terms of the tabling thing, mm-hmm. separating tabling for one versus tabling for the other, is that your question?
Were you asking about the conditions he was talking about with the trees and the seating and stuff?
Yeah.
Those things are in the recommendations as conditions.
Okay. Oh, I see.
Yeah, which would apply to
essentially the whole property, which are like best management practices and those types of
things. And it sounded had some proposed amendments maybe that he'd like to suggest to the rest of them, and maybe tweaking some of the conditions.
I understand.
Is that not accurate?
Thank you.
Understood.
We can condition our approval not only on the conditions that are suggested by the staff, but anything else that we would come up with.
Understood.
Do you want to move forward?
Yeah.
Okay. You can sit down.
Okay.
I'll open the meeting for discussion among the members of the board and the two interlopers from the planning.
Do you want someone to
volunteer? We'll go around.
Not
a
table.
I brought it up, so I'm in trouble. I gotta go first. So, in the applicant's presentation, he mentioned that they were going to plant some new trees. Okay, and that was, I didn't realize, I haven't been inside the aerial photo.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like there's a whole big stand of aspen trees just to the west of the proposed structure. And so, when the applicant says trees, that can mean so many different things. I mean, a couple small trees, or a lot of big trees, or whatever, and I'm suggesting that we make a condition what that means. You know, if he's going to plant trees, let's just say what he's going to do. So that's one point. And I'm not an arborist, so I don't know what type of specifics, but we could maybe, if you wanted to go that route, we could assign somebody with the county to review his proposal for trees. And you know, all right, so that's a tree thing. The other thing is seeding. Obviously, he's got some scrape off going on. He's got a lot of stuff going to go on.
Are you related to Lady Bird Johnson?
Every time I drive to Craig, I think of Lady Bird Johnson.
Yeah.
Is what I'm talking about? Is what I'm talking about? Then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
So there's no junk cars yet.
No
junk cars. That's not an issue. Okay. So as far as the seeding goes, I've seen a lot of seeding projects that go bad, and so the way it's stated now is it's going to have to be seeded. I just think we need some specifics. It says we have a certain amount of grass that we don't have. We've got to reseed maybe twice, spring and the fall.
Isn't that already covered, Billy, in the driveway? And I know when I did my driveway taking, they came out and inspected where I scraped and where I moved dirt and stuff like that.
Yeah, obviously the applicant will need to go through the building permit process. They're not necessarily looking for vegetation. However, in our conditions of approval, suggested condition number 8 is revegetation of disturbed areas shall occur within one growing season with a seed mix which avoids the use of aggressive grasses. See the Colorado State University Extension Office for appropriate grass seed mixes.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
That's what's in there now, right? She just read.
That's currently in there. Potentially, because obviously we want to make these enforceable conditions. I'm probably not going to drive out there every year and make sure the trees are looking good. And they did plan on their site plan, they made it pretty clear that they wanted to keep as many existing trees as possible. Further, maybe one option is when I approve their building permit, we have a condition that upon issuance of their certificate of occupancy, somebody from the planning department needs to make sure it's appropriately seeded, or that it's revegetated at that time. So that would be one way that we would have some sort of check and balance to make sure that that's actually occurring, that before they're issued their certificate of occupancy, they need to have reseeded.
I take it one step further, and it's like, what if? So, you know, if anything you say, the appropriate person in the county, specify it, they watch it go in, you know, they've met their requirements, and it doesn't grow. I've seen that happen, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think it'd be easy to add something to the effect that somebody from the county says, if you haven't got the grass, we're done. But if we don't have the grass, we do it again. Mm-hmm. So that's all I'm saying. Together, you guys can agree on that.
Yeah, like I said, they came out twice to my house to inspect areas that we reseeded, and finally signed off and said, yeah, the reseeding's good. We did not get a certificate of occupancy until that was signed off.
But somebody was following up.
And that's generally handled through the grade. Did you have a grading and a
certificate? Yeah,
that's part of the checks and balances, yeah. Balances as part of that. Permit condition. So that's permit condition number 6 if this were approved.
Generally,
so there is oversight there.
Sorry. Generally, we would rely on the staff to carry through on the conditions that we impose. If you wanted to add to the conditions that are suggested by the staff, you certainly can.
I guess, does that still address the issue of what if it doesn't happen? The staff comes back and says, yep, it didn't happen.
Well, okay,
they wouldn't get their
occupancy.
Right.
No, so yeah. We just tie that to the occupancy.
Which
but that doesn't work because the grass, they need occupancy before the grass is grown. That doesn't work.
As a personal observation, I don't want to go out there a year and a half, 2 years from now to see whether the grass is growing. Do you?
I might.
Okay.
It's easily visible.
My background in water culture.
Yeah, well, kind of. I've done that.
That's okay.
We could require the applicant to send us some pictures of grass that's grown.
But that's not what you
guys. None of those really address the issue of what if it doesn't come up.
Yeah.
You should see his current landscaping. This is his one of his many passions is landscaping.
We need to move on.
Okay. I will interrupt. So I think that one of the major benefits of this variance request is the relocation of the driveway off of 38 onto 38A. And for no other reason, I would approve the project just because of that, because I just think there's so much more traffic going up to Buck Pass than will ever be on 38A. I also feel that the proposed detached garage is about the same location as the existing house. So it's really not a huge, isn't it? I mean, in terms of the setback, it looks like the setback about the same distance that, it's hard to read on here, but it looks like it's
probably.
It's setback, the garage is setback a lot more than the existing house.
It is setback more than the existing
house. A lot.
So that's another benefit. Let's see, thirdly, I completely agree with the desire to have the solar gain on the south side of the house. That is consistent with some of the goals in the master plan, and we're trying to get more and more, at least on the Planning Commission side, I can't speak for the board here, but more and more sustainability elements into our planning, and certainly solar gain is important for that. I also agree from an architectural perspective that a detached garage is more representative of the rural agricultural character that you're seeking to have in Strawberry Park. So finally, I think that the variance should be granted because I believe that the site is constrained by its configuration, by the parcel size. I mean, it's very unusual to have an AF parcel that's so tiny and these huge setbacks. The right-of-way encroachment that exists on both, I guess, two sides of the parcel, the ditch and leach field, and the slope. So those are my rationale for the variance approval. Thank you.
I would support what Roberta said. She had a lot of the same points as I did. I have one concern, and that's it says in here on the conditions, it says the construction of the building does not commence within 1 year. The variance shall be subject to another review. And we can give a 12-month administrative, or you can give a 12-month administrative notice. If the applicant, though, were just to build the detached garage, do we consider that met? Or do we want the main home to be started in that first year?
You know, that is something that was engendered by the staff's request that we treat this as two applications. If we were to not treat this as two applications, correct me if I'm wrong, then the construction of the detached facility would meet the one-year requirement.
Unless we change the condition.
Unless we change the condition to apply to two garages separately.
Or require that the main structure commence within a year.
May I make a suggestion?
What?
May I make a suggestion?
Yes.
We recently had an application where the applicant indicated that they were also going for two separate variances. They indicated that they didn't think that they were going to have construction started, and you guys approved 2 years instead of 1 year. And then they also were eligible for that 12-month administrative extension on that. Maybe the applicant knows what his timeline is, and he might be able to provide better feedback to you guys on that. But that is flexible. That's something that could be flexible.
Okay.
Don?
Well, being last, many of the things were already said.
Actually, I'm last.
Oh, that's right. But that's just because you have the hammer.
Yeah, yes.
The trend of this whole project is going in the right direction. The fact that this is an existing, if this wasn't already an existing residential place, it'd be a whole different breed of cat. But to me, everything's going in the right direction. I don't think that separating garages is cumbersome to the property, and so I think that they've met the requirements that we have to go by, so I'll probably be ready to move forward with an approval for both.
Gotcha. I certainly haven't been persuaded that I would deviate from the straw vote for all the reasons that have been discussed, and also observing that the encroachment on the setback would be less than the existing structure, were the existing structure to be built today. I'm also aware of the concern in the neighborhood that we enforce the setback requirements. However, our primary purpose is to grant relief if the zoning requirements themselves are burdensome with respect to the lot owner. And we are guided by specific requirements in our deliberations to approve or not approve. I think this is one instance where because relocation of the garage to above the house would still result in encroachment, that relief is appropriate. And I'll, unless anyone has any further comments.
I have one quick question. This is kind of new. So a lot of the comments are based on removal of the existing structures. I agree with everybody. It's like a really good idea. Does it say anywhere in here that has to happen?
No.
However,
so my question is, if we can remove this variance and they could leave the house, the old house there.
You can condition it that they're required to remove it.
No, when we approve a variance, we approve a variance on the basis of
it's
the materials that are submitted to us.
Okay. Yeah. That's my question.
Okay.
So that means all the buildings that are getting scraped here. So
the applicant said he's going to do that in his application?
Yeah, exactly.
It's approved all kinds.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion.
Second.
No.
That's
Oh, sorry.
So we don't know what it is.
I'm sorry.
And, given the way things are going, I don't see any reason to bifurcate the approvals.
No.
Is anyone?
No.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion with respect.
So we're going to approve both of these applications as well?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Well, I would make a motion that based on the standards for granting the variance, as we always go, the five requirements, that they have been met, and we go forward and approve the variance for both structures.
Is there a second?
Second.
Will you adopt the conditions that have been requested by the staff?
I would move that on...
you can move the...
Sorry. With respect to the two-year time frame?
Yeah, you want to vary that one.
Yeah,
so it's 2 years.
We want to change our normal structure from 1 year to 2 years. For the construction work.
Can I amend that? Can I amend it that we include the main house? Basically, it should say if the construction of the main house does not commence within 2 years.
Then they request the 12-year extension?
So we need a second for that.
No, we need him to say that he'll accept the amendment.
Okay. Yes, the amendment is acceptable.
Okay. Second.
All in favor of granting the variance, signify by saying aye.
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 Chair votes aye. Opposed? Hearing none, your application is granted. And we are mindful of the concerns of the neighborhood. It is our task to vary the application, the straight application of the zoning resolution, if we believe that five criteria are satisfied. And we do. Have any further business?
The only administrative report we have is very short. The next scheduled meeting is December 9th, I believe. And as of right now, we don't have any applications scheduled. However, we just received one today. So there could be an application scheduled for December, and we'll let you know as soon as possible.
I'm sure all of us have plans. I know I do over the holidays. And Thanksgiving is very close to Christmas this year.
Mm-hmm.
So unless the applicant is insistent upon being heard in December, I would suggest that you schedule it for January.
It's part of a two-part application.
Yeah, there's a very good chance that we may schedule their conditional use permit first, and if they get approved for that, then we'll schedule their variance thereafter. So that very well may happen. We just haven't discussed that strategy.
I'll let you guys know as soon as we do, because to get it in, to get it advertised, will have to be like real
this
soon.
Week.
It would have to be.
Yeah.
Super.
So as of right now, it looks like you're going to have the month off. However, don't hold me to that. We'll let you know as soon as possible.
You think you had a problem getting a quorum for this meeting? wait for the summer.
Well, we're very appreciative for
that. Does anybody have anything further? Take a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn. Second.
We adjourn.
Thank you.